instead of having the word exposited to us, we are going to have it illustrated for us in the form of a dramatic presentation that's going to be presented to us by a good friend, Rob Styler. Many of you know Rob because he's been here to the congregation in the past. Rob is a believer who grew up in Jersey. I met Rob years and years ago when he was a student, I think, at Moody, and it was a great blessing and encouragement to me personally as I was getting involved in Messianic ministry here at the congregation through the FMC, our involvement together. So we got to build a friendship, hopefully a mutually encouraging friendship in that context. Rob served with Chosen People Ministries for several years, working in New York and then in Toronto in a Messianic congregational context, so he understands what it's like to be part of a community like ours. He studied drama in Toronto and in New York City because he has a passion for doing what the Lord did, which was to use stories to impact people's lives for eternity. And so he's studied drama and through that study felt led to start a ministry called Second Adam. And Second Adam Performing Arts is a ministry dedicated to the illustration of God's Word through dramatic performances. And Second Adam, back in 1999, became a part of CJF Ministries. That's the Christian Jew Foundation. And Rob has been working with them and was recently, a couple of years ago, appointed their missionary director. And so in addition to his work in Second Adam, he is also helping supervise the missionaries on the field who are working with CJF. And so Rob and his wife, Sharon, live in where? Somewhere in Arizona, right? Filbert, Arizona? Gilbert, Arizona. Okay. And has two grown sons, so I'm going to stop talking. And a grandson, Mazel Tov. So it's a pleasure for us to have Rob here. Before I let Rob come forward, I'm going to put our home link up on the screen. So children and parental units, if you want to make note of the home link questions for Rob's presentation this morning. First one is, what does Yeshua mean? You may be able to answer that question without listening to Rob this morning. We'll see, huh? And then, why did people sacrifice a lamb? And then finally, how is Yeshua the Passover lamb? So I want to encourage you to write those questions down. Be looking for the answers to those questions during Rob's presentation. And then when our service is over and you're hanging out together as a family later in the day, to go ahead and use those questions to help discuss the things that God taught you this morning. So with that, I'd like to welcome Rob.
Thank you, Dan. This morning, when I came here, I pulled in the parking lot at 10:01, and I'm like a time fanatic. When I have to speak at a meeting, I always arrive 30 minutes early. And when I got here, I saw all the people that were in the parking lot. I thought to myself, in 30 years, I have never seen a parking lot filled at a Messianic congregation 30 minutes before the service. I was shocked, literally shocked. Coming into the building, I thought, I have to ask Dan what the secret is. I mean, you know, he could make millions. He could be like the Rick Warren of the Messianic movement, because everybody would want to know that. And when I came in, I just looked down the aisle and I saw Dan in the front with his phone like this. And the second I did, I knew that the service started at 10. The second, I knew it. I saw the look on his face. I've seen that look maybe only three times in the last 25 years. But that's the look like, where is this jerk? And we don't say that, but that's, you know, it's usually like, hi, I was wondering where the guest speaker was, but I know what people are really thinking. So I knew I was late, and the whole everybody getting there early theory just dissipated. And it went back to normal, except that I was actually late. But the good thing about being late when you're a guest speaker is that whoever the leader of the service is, they're so grateful that you're there, they really don't care what you do. So it takes all the pressure off me, you know. It's like, great, like, oh, he's here, good. I don't care if he stinks. I don't, as long as he's here, I don't have to do something. So there's a positive side to that as well. The story I'm going to tell you this morning is a story about Passover. And it will be told to you by a lamb. And I think it's pretty self-explanatory. You'll just be able to follow along with it. And you'll get it. Everybody here just lend an ear to what is going down. I'm the Lamb, you know I am, with the band and the funky sound. It is me, as you can see, who really loves to rap. I'm the King, co-singing my things, gonna put me on the map. Got it made, just ask the babes, they dig the way I look. When I'm rocking, them chicks come flapping, sit back, you watch me cook. Well, I hear tell in Israel that everyone knows me. If you're in doubt, just give a shout, cause I'm famous around the Galilee. I never miss a chance to do a little rehearsing, especially in front of an audience. It's my goal to be the first rapping Lamb to make it big. Probably didn't come to hear my singing, though, did you? I assume if you're here, it has something to do with the Passover. I don't mind telling you, Passover is my least favorite holiday. Always lose a lot of family and friends around that time, if you know what I mean. Not that it's so bad losing some members of your family. I had a cousin once, Mr. Perfect. Well, he's gone. Which is the one good thing about being born with a limp. You see, in order for a lamb to make the Passover table, you must be absolutely perfect, having no defects at all. And it's because of this that I expect to live a long, if sometimes a lonely, life. Now, one year, I was chosen by accident. And it was a very scary afternoon until the mistake was uncovered. When it was, I was allowed to resume my rapping career. However, that was the last time I saw my cousin. You know, the perfect one? I mean, and he was perfect. He could get a date with any babe in the flock. But in the end, all of his perfection cost him. Probably wondering, how did we sheep get involved with the nation of Israel? Well, as a matter of fact, we sheep were big in the Bible before Israel even became a nation. Remember the story at the very beginning of Scripture about Adam and Eve's kids, Cain and Abel? Well, even if you don't, Abel was the good guy in that story, if you remember. He had some sheep. Now, his brother Cain, he was the bad guy. He had no sheep. One day, he gets angry, killed his brother, and comes up with the now famous saying, "Well, who am I? My brother's keeper?" What's the moral of that story? Good people have sheep. That's how we look at it anyway. So how did we get involved with the nation? Well, it all began when God chose Abraham to be the father of his people. And in order for him to fulfill that responsibility, he needed to be a man of great wealth. And the scriptures record this about Abraham. Moses wrote, "And Abraham acquired sheep, cattle, male and female donkeys, men servants, maid servants, and camels." You ever notice that sheep was first in that list? That's God's order. Bet you never heard any sermons about that, did you? Well, anyway, as the nation of Israel grew, we grew along with them. And over the years, our relationship became closer and closer until the day that changed our relationship forever. We refer to that day as the Day of the Great Slaughter. Now, the story of that day has been told and retold to every generation of sheep. I'll tell you how I first heard about it. The Day of the Great Slaughter started out like any other day. And it seemed, well, actually, it seemed that there was a famine at the time in the land of Israel. And because of the famine, the children of Abraham went down into the land of Egypt. Now, when they got there, they didn't get a good reception. But how did they get there? Well, I'll tell you. They went into the land of Egypt, and the Egyptians sent them into their own part of the land, a place they called Goshen. Now, everything had been Goshen along just fine. Goshen along. That is my mother's favorite joke. Goshen along. Things were going along just fine when a new leader, a new Pharaoh, took over. He did not like the children of Abraham. He was frightened of them. And he decided to make their life more and more miserable. Now, just when it seemed that things couldn't get any worse, a man named Moses showed up. Nobody knew anything about him. He seemed to come out of nowhere. He went and spoke to Pharaoh and told him that God wanted the children of Abraham to come out into the desert and worship him. Now, Pharaoh, who thought very highly of himself, suggested to Moses that if the people wished to worship someone, why not worship him? Well, that suggestion was not a big hit with Moses, or with God either, as a matter of fact. So God decided he would persuade Pharaoh by bringing about what he called the 10 plagues. We refer to them as the 10 uncomfortable circumstances. They involve things like flies and frogs and locusts. You get the idea. Until the last and worst of the 10, the day of the great slaughter. Now, that day started out like any other. Every one of the children of Israel were going about their normal routines when, all of a sudden, large groups of men started to come among the flocks. They began to look over the sheep until they found ones that were perfect. When they had one for each family, they brought them back to their homes. Now, over the next 4 days, they examined those sheep to be certain that they had no defects. Now, all the sheep that were left behind, they were confused and frightened by what was happening. But things got even worse. On the evening of the 4th day, all of those sheep that had been gathered together were slaughtered. And the men of Israel took bowls and they put their blood into them. And they took hyssop, a plant that grew in Egypt, and they dipped it into the blood and put it on the top and the sides of the doorposts of their home. Then they roasted those lambs. And after they ate them, they went into their homes and they did not come out until the next morning. Now the next day, there are reports of many deaths all over the land of Egypt. It seemed that every home that did not have this blood on the door suffered the loss of a firstborn. We heard that God had told the children of Abraham, "When I see the blood on the door, I will pass over your home with my judgment." And the day became known as Passover. The children of Abraham were commanded to celebrate it every year, and every year they did. When the springtime came around, the men of Israel would go out into the flocks and they would look for the perfect lambs. And when they found them, they would sacrifice them, and they remembered. It was the blood of the perfect ones that allowed them to escape the coming judgment of God. Things have gone on like that for many, many years, and nothing has changed in Israel. Except about 3 years ago. It was that time that this new teacher came on the scene. It was kind of like Moses, seemed to come out of nowhere, nobody knew much about him. The people called him Yeshua. In English, it means salvation or deliverance. Now, I had not paid much attention to this Yeshua in the past few years, but this year was different. I happened to be in Jerusalem the week before the Passover. The city was filled with people who had come from all over the country in order to celebrate. And in the middle of all these crowds, I saw a commotion over by one of the gates. I made my way over there, and when I did, well, it was kind of like a parade. And at the head of the parade is a young donkey with Yeshua riding him into town. Now, I recognize that young donkey. I knew his parents from some of the local stables. And between me and you, you never in the whole world would have thought a kid like that would be leading a parade. There he is. And as they ride into town, you could hear the excitement and feel it in the crowd. The people started to shout out, "Blessed are you! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David!" And the excitement grew and grew until they passed right by me. Now when they did, Yeshua turned and he looked at me, right in the eyes. Now, that was not an easy thing to do. You know, I mean, everybody around me was on two legs and I was on four, technically three. But he looked me right in the eyes, and when he did, all I could see in his face was kindness. I decided I would follow along and see what was going to happen, but the crowd was so excited and moving so fast, they soon left me far behind. As a matter of fact, I almost got stepped on. But there was a very nice man there, a man called Simon, who came from this place called Cyrene. And when he saw me in trouble there, he picked me up and carried me across the road. But I was determined to know more about this Yeshua. So I started to ask around about him, and I'll tell you, there was no shortage of opinions about him. Some people told me that they thought he was the Messiah himself. And other people told me they thought he was possessed by a demon. So I decided I would find out. I started to follow him around and to find out all the things he was doing. And the first thing I discovered about him was that he always seemed to be teaching. I thought that was a really good thing. One of the things that made him an especially good teacher was that he liked to use my people as examples in his teaching. I personally think his best teaching involved my people. I'll tell you just one of them. One time he said this: which one of you, having a sheep fall into a hole, would not immediately go and get him out, even if it was the Sabbath? Therefore, it is right to do good things even on a day of rest. Now, I don't know about that part of people being more important than sheep, but I was glad he didn't want any of my friends to spend their day in a hole. I thought that was pretty good. Sometimes, he even referred to his own people as sheep. He would say things like, "I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You gotta love that one, right? And his own cousin, a man named John, introduced him to the world by saying this: "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb of God. Now that is a very special title. But I'll tell you what amazed me most about him. Of all these things I was learning, there were these men. They were called prophets. And they had written things about Yeshua before he was even born. The Bible was filled with their writings. I'll give you an example of one of them. A man called Micah. He wrote this: "But out of you, Bethlehem, even though you are just a small town in the land of Judah, out of you will come one for me, and he will be a ruler over Israel, a shepherd over my people." A sheep who was a shepherd. That is such an unusual combination. But I think Yeshua must have known this about himself, because one day he said this: "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Now, when I heard that, that made me really like him even more. You know, those shepherds that will lay down their life for the sheep, man, they are the best. But I don't mind telling you, all this sheep talk was making me a little nervous. You know, it was very close to the Passover, and it was not a good time to be one of the sheep. And I thought, for all the lamb talk he's doing, it's a good thing he's not a real lamb. I mean, I had been with him and not seen him do anything wrong. And there was no more dangerous time in Israel to be a perfect lamb than right at Passover. Well, before I knew it, the week just flew by and was the day before the Passover. And that afternoon, I followed two of the boys over to this house. Yeshua had these 12 men, used to hang around with them all the time. I just called them the boys. They came to this house and they went upstairs. A little while later, the rest of the boys and Yeshua show up and they all went upstairs. Now, this staircase was very narrow and steep, and I knew there was no way I was getting up there. I mean, I wanted to find out what was going on, but I couldn't do it. So I decided the best thing I could do was just go and wait for them. There was a small garden near the house, a place called Gethsemane. And I went over there and waited there for 2-3 hours. I'm not really sure how long it was. Nice, quiet place to think about all the things I had been hearing that week. And after about 2 or 3 hours, you'll never guess who shows up. It was Yeshua and the boys. All of them except Judas. They got together and they started to talk and they started to pray. And it wasn't really going that well because every time Yeshua turned around, the boys fell asleep. And finally, I guess he got kind of frustrated with them. He brought them all together in a little group. And when he did that, that was when the crowd came. Big, angry crowd. Some of them carrying sticks and some of them had swords. They went over to Yeshua and they swallowed him up and carried him away. Now when the boys saw what happened, they all ran off in different directions. They reminded me of sheep without a shepherd. I didn't want to leave him like they did. I started to follow along, but the crowd was really angry and really moving fast, and I couldn't keep up with them. I spent the entire night walking all over, trying to find some news about him and see if anybody had heard what happened, but nobody seemed to know anything. I walked and walked until I was exhausted. And finally, I lay down and thought I'd get a little bit of rest before the morning, but I just couldn't go to sleep. I mean, I tried everything I knew. I got so frustrated, I even tried counting people. Still couldn't sleep. Well, before I know it, the sun was coming up and decided we're going to Jerusalem to see if there was any news about him. Nobody knew anything. And I asked around and finally decided I might as well go home when I ran into somebody I knew. That man, Simon, from Cyrene. When he saw me, he started to walk along with me. And he slowed down just so I could keep up with him. He was just that kind of a guy. We hadn't gone far when we came to a bend in the road. And around that bend came some Roman soldiers. And they had with them this poor soul that they were going to execute. They had beaten that man so bad that he could not even carry the wood they were going to nail him on. And I looked at that poor man and I looked into his face. And when I did, all I saw in there was kindness. It was in that I recognized it was Yeshua. The soldiers grabbed Simon and they made him carry that wood. And they started to march out to this small hillside, a place called Golgotha, means the place of the skull. Now this time they were going so slow that I could easily keep up with them. They brought Yeshua out to that little hill. And they made Simon put that wood down and they took Yeshua and they threw him on there. And then the soldiers put some nails into his hands and into his feet. And when they finished, they lifted him up in the air. And the entire time, he didn't make a sound. They set the post firmly into the ground. And when they did, the entire land went dark. You couldn't see a thing. I couldn't even see him anymore. But I could hear him. And he said, "Father, into your hands I place my spirit." And that was when I left. I couldn't bear any more of this. And I couldn't understand. Why would they do this to him? Why were they so cruel to him? I had been with him. I can tell you. He hadn't done anything wrong. Why in the world did this happen? And then I knew. My greatest fears had come true. It was not a good time to be a perfect lamb in Israel. Next 3 days, I wandered all over the countryside. They were the loneliest days of my life. I just kept thinking about him and what he had said and how he had suffered. And it was the third day that I made my way down by the sea. When I got there, I saw a fishing boat not far from the shore. And there were men on that boat, and they were talking to a man that was on the shore. Now, from the back where I was, it looked like that man on the shore was Yeshua, but I knew that couldn't be. The closer I got, the more it looked like him. And the closer I got, I looked at the boat, and I realized that the men on the boat were some of the boys. Peter, James, Nathaniel, they're on the boat there, and I waved to them. And I looked back to the man they were talking to, and I'm telling you, I could swear that it was Yeshua. And I wasn't the only one thinking it. Because someone on the boat, I don't know who it was, someone yells out, "Hey, it's the Lord!" When he said that, Peter jumped right off the boat and starts running up towards this man. And the rest of the boys weren't far behind him. Now, by the time I got up to this man, all the boys were sitting around him, and when I got up there, I looked in that man's face. And when I did, all I saw was kindness. And I knew that it was Yeshua. You know what he said to them? He said, "Why don't you bring me some of the fish you caught, and I'll make you some breakfast." That was exactly like him. You know, no matter what happened, he's always thinking about everybody else. And they got together and he cooked the fish for them and they started to talk to one another. And in the middle of the conversation, he stops and he looks over at Peter. "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And Yeshua said to him, "Well, if you love me, then feed my sheep." And a few minutes later, he stops again and he looks over at Peter and he said, "Peter, I mean, do you really love me?" And Peter said, yeah, Lord, I love you." And Yeshua said to him, "Then tend my lambs." And a few minutes later, they're eating, still eating, he stops again. "Peter, listen, I mean, do you really love me?" And Peter, he gets all upset by this time. He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Yeshua said to him, "Well, if you love me, then feed my sheep." Now, I have to tell you, a little misunderstanding in the sheep community about this conversation. And, you know, I have to take responsibility. You know, I heard this conversation and I thought to myself, "Hey, we eat." Turned out it had an entirely different meaning. How in the world would you know that? I was so involved in this conversation that I almost forgot that it was Yeshua having this conversation and he was alive. How could that be? And then I remembered. I remembered the writings of those men that amazed me the most. Those men called the prophets. But this time I thought of one called Isaiah. And Isaiah wrote this: "Like a sheep that is silent before its shears, so will he be. And it will please the Lord to offer his soul as a guilt offering, because he will bear the sin of many. And though he will be cut off from the land of the living, he will see his descendants." And then I knew. I knew that this Isaiah had written about the birth and the death and the resurrection of this lamb before he was even born. And finally, I understood. I understood that Yeshua really was one of my people. You see, every spring, when the Passover came, the men of Israel looked among the sheep until they found ones that were perfect. And when they were certain that they were perfect, they sacrificed them and they remembered. It was the blood of the perfect ones that allowed them to escape the judgment of God. And so too with this lamb. He was also chosen and set aside, not by people, but by God. And when he was examined and found to be perfect, he too was sacrificed, so that all who come to him might escape the judgment of God. The blood of this lamb is not put on the doors of homes, but is put on the doors of our hearts. And all who come to him and know him and accept him in faith are free from the coming judgment of God. And I knew that day he was not a lamb, but he was the lamb. And when I realized that, and all those things came together, my Passover has never been the same again. When I think about him and the things that he accomplished and the love that he had, I could talk about him forever. But if I was to do that, it really wouldn't leave me any time to rehearse. And I don't know if you know anything about the music business, but let me tell you this. It's very cutthroat, if you know what I'm saying. So, if you'll excuse me, get back to do a little rehearsing, but I'll tell you what I decided. I decided that I'm going to write a new song and it's going to be about him. I got real excited about that idea. I'll tell you, listen to this line I have. He's the Lamb, the great I am. Isn't that a good one? I got all excited. I went and told my wife, I said, you know what, listen to this. I think it's really good. You know what she said to me? You think everything you write is really good. But I don't care, I'm using it anyway. And then I have another line. Listen to this. From above and filled with love. Now, isn't that a good one too? I like it a lot, you know? But you know what? There's a little problem. You see it right away. I didn't see it. Humans love rhymes. That's everything has to rhyme. They don't care if it makes sense. Long, they're happy. So I had these two lines, and I was thinking of a line in between, but I couldn't, and that's why I started out. You know, I'm thinking, instead of thinking of the words, maybe I could think of the music. You know, sometimes it works backwards like that. So that's what I was trying to do, get the tune down. And then I think the words will come to me. So anyway, I'm sure I'm going to get it. I'll get something in between. But, you know, the words I can't, then I'm struggling with the tune. So one way or another, it's going to come to me. I'm going to get this.